The Pink Prank by Dan Puff. Every year since she married, Molly has knitted sweaters for her loved ones. That first Christmas was only Arthur. Then, the Christmas after, a tiny sweater for Bill. More and more sweaters year after year. It's not easy work keeping up with so many people, but it's work Molly loves. So when, on Christmas morning, she discovers her twins have ruined one of her sweaters, Molly is devastated. Ron's and Draco's sweaters are meant to match like all the others, maroon with a gray stripe for Ron, and gray with a maroon stripe for Draco. Only now, Draco's stripe is no longer maroon, but blush pink. Molly doesn't know how they've done it, and it's not something she can fix, not now, so she bursts into tears while Arthur hastily wraps the sweater. It joins the pile of other plainly wrapped gifts beneath the tree, many as lumpy and well cared for. Arthur cheers her with hot cocoa and warm hugs, and when the whole family is gathered, practically on top of one another in the cramped living room, Arthur unwraps his first. He kisses her happily, just as he always does. This year, his sweater is red, white, and green striped, and he excuses himself to change into it. The twins are blue, with their initials in orange, and they pull them over top their pajamas right away. Charlie's is forest green, with a red Chinese fireball on the chest. Purple and green stripes for Percy and Neville, red with gold stars for Hermione, and gold with red stars for Ginny. Black with green trimming for Severus, and green with black trimming for Harry. Matching sunshine yellow sweaters for Bill, Fleur, and baby Victoire. And Molly sniffles when she dresses her granddaughter in hers, and remembers dressing Bill in his first sweater. Fleur gives her a watery smile, and Bill gives her a hug, while Victoire gurgles sweetly between them. Ron is next, and like the twins, he pulls his on right away and tries not to watch Draco too excitedly. Molly feels her cheeks pinken and her eyes tear up as she wrings her hands. Draco always dresses so smartly, and today is no exception. His dark green slacks and white button-up are quite nice, nicer than anything her family will ever own. Handmade sweaters won't be his style, of course, but Molly couldn't bear to leave him out, certainly not when Ron is so smitten with him. Draco is one of them now, even if he keeps his sweater folded neatly at the bottom of a drawer all year long. And the thought of that doesn't quite break her heart. Of course not. Long, pale fingers neatly pull apart the brown paper and let it fall to the floor. Molly's stomach swoops unpleasantly when she sees the sweater again, the pretty dove gray with the blush pink. Draco stares at it a long moment, then primly says, "Thank you."
"Of course, dear,"
Molly says, with all the brightness she can muster. Calmly and quietly, Draco stands and strides out of the room. Molly spins away from the rest of the gathering to hide the tears she can no longer hold back. Her shoulders shake, and she gasps in a breath to stop a sob. In an instant, Arthur is at her side, enfolding her into his arms.
"There, there, Molly Wobbles," Arthur murmurs into her hair.
It's only a silly sweater with a silly pink stripe, and Molly's awfully silly to cry over such nonsense. But heavens, Draco is one of her brood now, and she so hoped to please him, however hopeless it was. As mother to so many, Molly senses the tension behind her. She needn't see the glares or hear the hissed words to know the twins are being reprimanded. Oh, this isn't at all what Molly wanted for Christmas. There's meant to be hugs and laughter and carols and eggnog, not this.
"Mom, we're sorry," Fred calls out miserably. "We were only welcoming Malfoy to the family," George adds.
"Oh, you boys," Molly fusses tearfully. Arthur shoots the twins a look over her head, then uses the sleeve of his new sweater to dry her eyes. But her eyes water more at the thought of her children and the love they've found. And she hopes Draco and Severus and Neville and Hermione and Fleur can keep all of her babies as loved and safe as she is with Arthur. Arthur laughs fondly.
"Oh, sweetheart. What on earth is going on?"
demands Drago. Molly sniffs and wipes her face once more before she turns back around. Drago re-enters the room, head held high, wearing his brand new sweater. Ron stands beside him, beaming broadly.
"Oh, Drago," Molly gasps. "Don't you look dashing?"
Drago preens. Intended or not, it's true. The gray matches his eyes just as she thought, but the pink complements his fair coloring much better than the dark red. He looks so handsome, Molly nearly doesn't mind that he doesn't match Ron. Though she spares a thought for her boy in light pink. Perhaps she'll have a word with the twins later.
"Thank you. Your eye for color certainly helped," Drago said graciously.
Fred and George grin quite smugly, but Ginny slaps them both on the back of their heads to humble them.
"Oh, come here, dear," Molly says, and extends her arms.
Draco's not much of a hugger, so everyone's quite surprised when he flies into Molly's arms. Everyone except Molly, of course. She's been a mother for over half her life. She knows when a boy needs a hug. No one need know how tightly Drago squeezes her, or about the stray tears that drip onto Molly's hair and forehead. Molly rubs his back and kisses his cheek. It will be their little secret. Prankmas Eve by Dan Puff. It's not the dead of night in which Fred and George choose to sneak. It isn't proper sneaking at all, really. It is, instead, the full light of day in which they bound down the stairs, up to nothing but trouble. Mom bustles about the kitchen, making fruitcakes and gingerbread, hard candies and fudge. Harry, her assistant, spends more time ducking out of her way than helping. Snape, too, is allowed in the kitchen to whip up batches of eggnog and mulled wine. Neville is sent away with his shoulders slumped, but it really is for the best that he not be allowed near the kitchen. It's for the best that Fred stays away, too, but still he squeezes his way inside. It's not that he doesn't want to steal a bite of cake or cookie, and he definitely doesn't want to see Harry grope Snape's bum when he thinks no one's looking. Merlin, he's going to have to hex out his eyes. But it is a distraction, not sugar, that is Fred's priority. "George!" Mum shouts, and Fred briefly worries that she's spotted George sneaking off with the bundle of cloth. Except she hasn't.
"Mum, I'm Fred," Fred corrects her cheerily. "Unless I am George. Do you think maybe I forgot which twin I am? Best consult George. Or Fred." "Oh, Georgie!"
Fred reaches for a bit of fudge, but finds himself facing Snape's wand instead. Fred manages to get his hand on a candy cane, and he lifts it with a grin and a wave before jogging off. Upstairs, George grins as he examines the jumper Mum knitted for Draco. Gray with a maroon stripe, the opposite of Ron's maroon with a gray stripe. The posh Pratt won't care much about the jumper, the twins are sure, so why not welcome him to the family this way? Besides, it will hurt Mum's feelings less when Draco doesn't like it.
"What do we think? Orange?"
George asks when Fred enters their bedroom. A candy cane hangs out of his brother's mouth.
"Oi, where's mine?"
"You look down the business end of Snape's wand and get your own," Fred replies.
"I'm thinking gold. Very Gryffindor."
"No, we're only changing the stripe. The rest is too much work."
"George!" Fred exclaims, scandalized. "No prank is too much work. We only have so much time."
A wave of George's wand flings the jumper midair, and he walks around to examine it. Fred shrugs his shoulders and talks around his candy cane.
"Fine, but the gold is still too Gryffindor for him."
"Gold is too fancy. He'll like it."
"Gold doesn't suit his complexion."
"I still say orange."
George flicks his wand, and the maroon stripe turns a deep, burnt orange. George frowns.
No, not quite. Orange.
The shade brightens.
Come on, George. Or are you Fred, by the way?
Gold, Fred says. The stripe gleams a vivid gold that possibly looks worse against the gray than the orange did. George considers this as he strokes his chin, but inevitably shakes his head.
Nah, Fred, we're welcoming him to the Weasleys, after all.
The stripe turns orange again.
And what a warm welcome it is, Fred agrees.
And seeing as how he's Ronnikin's little treasure, the stripe turns gold, then gold he shall be. George taps his wand against his nose. Silver sparks dribble out of the end.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Gred? Silver and gold? I don't know, Forge. He might actually like it.
Too garish for him, George says. Very unfashionable, you know.
And he'll think we're making fun of him.
Which we are, says Fred.
We are, agrees George.
What good is having new family members if one can't tease them? Even Snape had a taste of it last year, with a head full of silver tinsel. But Snape had the last laugh in the end. Green freckles just weren't as festive after Christmas, and it took the twins a solid month to set them right. Very impressive magic, that. He'll make a great business partner once they talk him into it. Fred and George set their sights on the jumper, with very different ideas of what to do. Silver and gold mingle grotesquely along the stripe. The twins frown. They don't want it to look that awful.
Or maybe magenta? Fred offers half-heartedly.
Blotches of magenta appear atop the muddied color. George flicks his wand at Fred.
Hey, we had an agreement.
Apparently not, Fred says, and flicks magenta sparks at his brother. The jumper ripples midair as the twins shoot colored sparks across the room. Blue bedclothes turn magenta, blue curtains now orange, the wood dresser now lime green. The jumper's stripe is hit several more times. Teal, then violet, then yellow. Scarlet sparks narrowly miss the gray of the jumper. They hit Fred's ginger hair instead.
Oh, now you've done it!
Fred whips his candy cane out of his mouth to point it at his twin, rather than his wand, as he intends. George cackles as Fred fumbles for his wand and shoots off a second spell as he begins to laugh, too. The pink sparks hit not George's head, but the jumper. The stripe turns not the hot pink he intended, but a pretty blush pink that suits the gray quite nicely. Fred and George stop laughing long enough to appreciate how pretty the jumper is now. Then they fall into peals of laughter once more.
"Oh, Merlin," gasps George, wiping the tears from his eyes. "I guess gold won't be so bad."
"No, you were right. Orange would be best," Fred says. "Besides, it'll make Ron think of the cannons. He'll love it."
"And Draco will hate it," George agrees brightly. "Genius, dear brother."
"Well, it was your idea."
As one, Fred and George raise their wands. And as one, they shoot orange sparks at the jumper. The stripe glows a bright orange pink. Then, the colors shift alarmingly, orange and pink separating before the orange is flung back into their faces. The stripe remains pink. Fred and George frown.
"Brown, maybe," Fred suggests.
By the end of the hour, Fred and George's freckles have never been so vivid or so colorful. Orange and brown and gold and canary yellow. The tips of George's ginger hair are blue. Fred's fingernails are green. Still, the stripe stays pink. They cannot tell why the stripe has become resistant to change. Their best guess is that they overloaded the material with too much magic, and it's expelling further spell work. They don't have time to test it further. The twins sneak back downstairs where George returns the jumper to Mum's pile, and Fred gets an unfortunate eyeful of his sister snogging and groping Hermione beneath the mistletoe. Mum is still too busy in the kitchen to pay him much mind, though at least Harry has found a safe corner in which to fix his trifle. Only Snape spares Fred a glance.
"I've been practicing new hair spells, see?" Fred says, brightly.
Snape's wand arm twitches, and Fred flees. Christmas Day doesn't start off very well. Mum cries, which the twins really should have seen coming. It was only meant to be a laugh. But then it turns out that Draco loves his jumper. This marks a failure in the prank category, but Mum cheers up and the twins breathe a sigh of relief.
"He really is pretty, isn't he?" Fred grumbles. Draco and Ron snuggle on the sofa.
Ron grins so broadly, his face looks as though it might split in half, and Draco's cheeks are a lovely pink as he whispers in Ron's ear.
"He'd be less pretty in orange," George sighs mournfully. "There's always next year," Fred says.
"There most certainly will not," says a sharp voice behind them.
Fred and George yelp and spring to their feet. Mum stands there, fists planted on her hips.
"How else is he supposed to know he's part of the family?" George asks defensively.
Mum's eyes narrow.
"You can start," she glances around the room, then leans closer, "by spelling your brothers to match."
Fred and George blink, then turn to look at Ron once more.
"Ronnie? In pink?"
Fred and George beam.
Yes, Mum.